could be a 5-minute message. But it's not going to be. What I mean by that is if we could learn the first part of this message, it would be enough for us to leave here and apply it and then see an amazing result in our own lives. But I'm going to preach the rest of it out of 18. So 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10. And then we're going to go to chapter 18. Do y'all see 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10? Do y'all see, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah." Do y'all see that? "So that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Y'all see that? Okay, good. So Jehoshaphat came up and became a righteous king. It wasn't very normal before or after. You can go back and study a little bit about his father. His father was a decent king. I almost taught on that tonight. I might teach on that in the next few weeks or so. Asa started well, but didn't finish so good. There's a message in that. We should want to finish as well as we started. But Jehoshaphat came on, and he loved the Lord, and he sought the Lord in a mighty way. He went after the Lord and tore down idols, high places, and he was a great king. So in 2 Chronicles 18 or 17:10, it says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Just sit there and think about that. He's the ruler. He's the king of Judah. He's sought the Lord in such a way, in a powerful way, and God has done something that nobody can do. He allowed the heaviness of the Lord fell on his enemies, that they would not attack Jehoshaphat. Think, man, ain't that good? Let me kind of break that down. I kind of said this last week about this time. If we would pursue God with our whole heart and get in His will, He can protect us against the things that come against us. Sometimes I think we wonder, why did this come in? Why is this happening? Why are we getting attacked on it? Sometimes we're getting attacked because we're out of the will of God, and we're making ourselves vulnerable. Because there's a few things, outright sin, but then there's also another thing is you trying to do it yourself without God. Once you start saying, "Okay, God, you got my salvation, you got me this far, now I can start kind of making some of my own decisions. I can start dealing with the things. Matter of fact, I'll just come to you when it's important." Right? When is it important to come to God? Always. Once you start subverting who God is, God then can pull back a little bit and say, "All right, I'll put you in some circumstances and situations that you'll need to come to me." Man, I hope y'all get that. But let's look at verse 18, verse 1. Now, this is kind of where I was at. Like, we could kind of leave here after this right here, because this is going to be good for anybody. If you really want to hear the word, let it change you. Now, Jehoshaphat. Had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Does anybody know anything wrong with that? Ahab's one of the wickedest. If not, there's only one other king that's more wicked than him. That's the word in the Bible. But Ahab is wicked. He is the king of Jerusalem. He is wicked. He is evil. I mean, he is a bad king, bad leader. Everything Jehoshaphat's doing, he's doing the opposite. He's worshiping everything. He's listening to everybody but God. But no, he married into Ahab's family and joined affinity with him. It's like, you're my buddy. Here's what I want you to write this down. Don't join up with people who don't love Jesus. who don't love God. I don't care if they're related to you. I don't care if they're best friends with you. You can't get in affinity with them because they're not going to pull you in the right direction. Man, look at Jehoshaphat. You know what he's doing? Jehoshaphat's sitting there going, man, I have got it made. If you go and study it out, he's got wealth. He's got peace. He's got joy. He's got nobody attacking him. He's building up his kingdom. God is just showing out in his life. You know what he does? He goes and joins with somebody who's totally opposite than that. Guys, it ain't that hard. It ain't that hard to do. It's really not. There's going to be people who come in and out of your life who don't love God, who are totally opposite, and they might have something or do something that you like. You can't join up with them. You can't allow them to come in and be a part of what you're doing to change you. God, I hope you. All right, let's go to the next verse. See if y'all can get a hold of this thing right here. Watch this right here. In verse 2, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. What did he do? He come down and he made a celebrity out of him. I like old Ahab. I wonder. See, right here, what you don't read in here, what's missing right here, and it comes at the end of the story of 18. He never talked to God. Should I marry into Ahab's family? Should I befriend him? Should I go down and become the king of the banquet down here? Because I don't know about the women, because I'm not one. I am not one of you, but I am a man. But if I go down, and let's just change the word banquet or let's just go to barbecue. If somebody says they're throwing a barbecue on my behalf, and it's going to be, man, it's going to be something else. We're going to eat till you get tired. We're going to have a celebration, and it's all about you. My pride's going to swell. I'm going to be like, goodness, girl, look at this. And everybody he brought with him, I mean, he was sitting there going, man, look what we're providing. And man, Ahab's a good guy. Better be careful about people who don't love God, but make a big deal about you because they're building you up in pride. And do you know who that sounds like? I can just go ahead and give you this. That's what the devil does. When you get built up in pride, there is a big fall, right? Pride cometh before a fall. When you start getting built up in yourself, man, that's hard to find. You won't find any solid ground there. I just feel like I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just stay in the room. I'll just preach to me, all right? I need to hear this kind of stuff. Verse 3, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? If y'all, I hope y'all know what this is. You know what he's asking him to do, right? Will you go fight with me? Will you fight my enemies? What's the problem with that? God ain't send no enemies into his life. Why does Ahab have enemies? Why is he fighting a fight? Because he's against God. All of a sudden, now I'm preaching, this is just everyday stuff, and we're not the kings of two countries, but I can help you right here. Sometimes you don't have to pick up every fight that comes your way. Good gosh, can we leave now? I can. I could get in my truck, go home, be like, Kevin, hear that, listen to that, and pay attention to it, right? He didn't, will you go to war with me? Listen to his answer. Let's go ahead and do that. And he answered him, I am as thou art. It was he. No, but he says it was. I'm like you, and my people as thy people. Were they? No, they weren't. They were worshiping God. He was a follower of God, but he loans himself out to somebody who's not of God. Man, I'm telling you, this will happen to you if you're not careful. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. He's going to war. You know one thing, he hadn't talked to God. He he's liked everything about this situation. I'm going to go to war, and I ain't even talking to God. There are some things that you were never meant to be in. There's battles in your life. You're going to be fighting, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to be like, God, why this, why that, why this and that and the other? And God's like, I never put you in this situation. You did it. It's you. You wanted that. Man, ain't this, I'm telling you right now, it's a blueprint for me. Sometimes I got to look at this and go, wait a minute, God, this is real good on this. I don't have to get into the battle with everybody. I don't have to go to war. We don't have to load up with everybody who calls himself a family member or a friend or something like that, jumps in with you and says, let's all go to war. Hey, so-and-so done this. Let's get them. Goodness, you know what you'd be doing in your life in that case? You'd be fighting every battle that comes along. Verse 4, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. I like that. Took him a while to get there. He's already volunteered himself, his people, and everything, but all of a sudden he's like, why don't we talk to God about it? This is one of my favorite places to preach. Let me say this. I'm going to move on. If you'll take that first part of that message right there and just apply it in your life, you'll do really well. Be careful who you talk to, how you talk to them, when you talk to them. If you're following the Lord and in His will, praise God, be careful who you join up with. Just be careful. Be careful the conversations you get into. Do you know right now the conversations you get into sometimes are destroying opportunities of ministry in your future? You can say the wrong thing to the wrong person. You can be praying for somebody, witnessing to somebody, and in 5-minute conversation ruin everything you said to that person. Just because you're mad, tired, aggravated, lonely, hurt, whatever it might be, you'll say these things, this happened. Next thing you know, they're going, I ain't getting involved in that. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful of where you join in a conversation and who you join in it with. Don't pick up a battle that don't belong to you. Y'all good? Watch this right here. Verse 5, therefore the king of Israel gathered together. I call this a big revival. I've been to a few of these. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of the prophets 400 men. Ain't that special? And said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear, as they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Ain't that good? 400 of them. Goodness, God, that'd be something to behold right there. 400 preachers up on a mountain right in turn of two kings just preaching. Everybody amening themselves. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, man. Go get them. Go kill them. Go sick them. Go get them. 400 in a row. Same message. How would that feel? I've been to a few revivals before. I'm like, man, I'm getting tired of amen. I don't even know what we're talking about. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Whatever he said is amen. We was in there eating that red meat. Everybody just something you agree with, something somebody else said. Somebody said it a different way. This is, I'm being real facetious here about revival somewhat. But verse 6, let's look at 6. I love this. If y'all don't like this, kind of just bear with me. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Good. I love him, man, right here. Jehoshaphat knows. He's probably put himself out there too far. He's got a little bit over his skis right here. And he's sitting in this revival with these preachers who are just preaching candy, cotton candy. Do, you know, bless, highly favored, bless, blessings. You're going to get paid. You're going to have this. You get the front row seat at the doggone mall, all that stuff. And Jehoshaphat's going, we're about to go to war here. And people are going to lose their lives. And I can see him leaning over to the king. Hey, Ahab. Yeah, what, brother? What? We're about to go to war. Well, yes, it's good. We're all going up there. Hey, Ahab, will you do me a favor? Do you know a real preacher? Do you know anybody that can preach? I mean, somebody who can preach that maybe this is only half of the story. Can we not get it all in here? Because if you're not careful, you can get half of a message, and that message will make you feel like you're doing all right. Amen? God loves you. Yeah, God does love you. But God will also judge you if you're not saved. Amen? You must be born again. All right? There's two parts of that message. He's like, that we might inquire. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. I love Ahab's answer. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet, how many preachers did he have come? Y'all answer. 400. Okay. What's this one? There is yet one. One guy. Ain't that funny that the king of Jerusalem knew the one preacher that he knew he didn't invite? He knew there was one guy out there that would preach the truth no matter who was sitting in that throne seat. I love that. Don't y'all love that? Ain't that sweet? He says, this is even better. There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Yes, I love that. For he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. The name is Micah. So the son of Imlah and Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. God, that's so good. Let's just whisper to yourself, I want to be Micah. I want to be a Micah so much. God, I don't like him, but he will tell you the truth. Amen. That's so good. That's so, man, I love when he leans over. Can we get one good preacher in here that would talk for the Lord? Yeah, I know one, but I hate him. And every time he comes, he preaches something evil against me. Well, wouldn't have anything to do with you being the most wicked king in history, would it? Right? It wouldn't be a fact that you were married to Jezebel, right? Couldn't be any of that. No, I think that might be it. And Jehoshaphat said, I just want to hear from the Word of God. He goes, don't say that about the man of God. Oh God. Let's go on. This is so good. Let's inquire of him. Verse 7. And the king of Israel said, okay. And verse 8. And the king of Israel called for one of the officers and said, Fetch quickly Micah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in the void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Zedekiah, the son of Chenai, he had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand. And the messenger that went to call Micah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Ain't that good? I love this. Here's the revival. 400 preachers and one preacher formed him some iron antlers. Good. I like a good prop in a message to you. Amen. This guy breaks out an 8-point buck antlers and starts going and pushing other prophets around. Golly, have y'all ever been to a bunch of revivals? I used to go to revivals in the 80s, man. You'd have to protect them preachers. They was wild. But I could just see one of them with a big set of antlers just... Here's what's going to happen, brother. I ain't down on everybody, but it's just funny. And that all 400 of them, after he broke the antlers out, was like, yes, go up and push them out. You're going to win. Good message. There ain't nothing, I'm preaching to myself right here, there ain't nothing like getting the approval of everybody else who preaches. There's only one problem with that. What if God don't approve of the message? Everybody in the world love you. What if God don't love it? Then besides that, they go over there to Micah and they tell him, listen, here's what's going on at the big revival that you didn't get invited to because we don't like to have you come. Because you don't know how to preach the right stuff. But we're going to give you a shot. Because we got one person up there who wants to hear a message. He's an important person. But before you go up there, we'd like you to know one thing. All 400 preachers are preaching the same message. And they're all in one mind and one accord. And what we want you to do is be 401. I want you to be 401. I want you to line up in behind them and say good things. Goodness gracious. What, man, this, I'm going to tell you right now, this right here just might make your career. This might just get you in an opportunity where you'll be in that 401. You'll be preaching everywhere. You'll be, man, this will really change your ministry. This will put you in a different stratosphere. Verse 13, Micah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. I bet that scared them to death. Whatever God tells me to speak, that's what I'm going to speak. If you need me up there, good. If you don't, good. Ain't that nice? Boy, I'm telling you right now, that's having a backbone. That's not worrying about what the rest of the world's doing or what the rest of the churches are doing or what all the rest of the ministers doing or what the rest of the churches are doing. Well, this never happened like this. Well, praise God, there's only one guy. One guy. Could you imagine? Y'all, that's pretty simple for us to sit in this room. I don't even know if we know the pressure of what it would be like to walk into a place where there's 400 other people speaking, and then there's all these people watching who are dignitaries and kings, and you got a different word than everybody else does. That's not just simple. And that's not just like, hey, I can go up here and tell the king whatever I want to tell him, and I'll walk out scot-free. Matter of fact, if we go ahead and study this whole thing out, he gets sent to jail. On bread and water. But I like it when he does get sent to prison. You know what the king tells him? I'll go ahead and give you a little snapshot of what happens in the future. He says, you put him in prison, give him the bread and water of affliction, and when I return safely, we'll deal with him. And I love what Micah said. You know what he said? If you do come back, then I'm not a prophet. You ain't coming back. Oh, I wanted to add Jack on there. I don't know why. It just felt right, you know. That's what I would have said. He ain't coming back, Jack. See, it sounds good, don't it? Sorry, that's me. Y'all look over that. I forgot where I was. Don't add Jack to the message. That'd be a good. And all the prophets prophesied to speak to Micah. Okay, verse 14, and when he was come to the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee? How many times do I need to ask you that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? See, the prophets, the 400 prophets, were preaching the true story. They just wasn't preaching at all. There was something left out there that changes the whole dynamic of the message. Amen? Then he said, I did see all of Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? And again he said, therefore the word of the Lord, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, and they may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail, go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. And that's not, my theology is not deep enough right there for that. I'm working on it, but I want to get a hold of that. When I want God to show me, when he says, what's that right there? Because he allowed those prophets to speak a lying message, amen, to draw King Ahab. But I want you to know this. I don't totally understand that completely, but I do understand this. He gave him the straight message before he went to the battle. Amen. He didn't let him go to the battle without the full truth. Amen. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, came near and smote Micah. Golly, I love this. Let's slow it down in verse 23. This is remember the guy that made the antlers? Y'all remember him? Micah's ruining his message and his prop. I'd be mad too if I had formed those antlers out of iron, which I cannot do, and I brought them up to the meeting, and I was showing out with them. Golly, y'all, that's all right, smile a little. If I had showed out for a good period of time and then I had 400 other people showing out with them antlers, they probably, three or four other them preachers picked those things up, not if about 200 of them did it. Right? So you know how they are. So guess what? So he ruins his message. So then Zedekiah, the son of Chenai, came near and smote Micah upon the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" Boy, ain't this is the guy who's just preaching the most powerful message under the sun. Be careful. Not everybody who calls himself preacher or minister or pastor is really a man of God. If they hurting people, they ain't God people. Amen? Think about that. Because there's a lot of men who stood up in places like this, and behind the scenes they hurt people. I'm not talking about misunderstandings. Like I'm talking about hurt people. Emotionally, mentally, sexually, a lot of different ways. This man comes up to him after he preaches a message, smacks him right in the face, and says, "Where's the Spirit of God now?" You should have known right there, well, this guy ain't right. And Micah said, "Behold, thou shalt see on the day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." Then the king of Israel said, "Take ye Micah and carry him back to Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I return in peace." This is so good. Well, I love what he's saying right here, though, is Micah got slapped in the face, and what did he do to retaliate? One, can we go back and break this down? I want y'all to get this full thing. Here's a guy, out of all the prophets in Israel, all the prophets in the land, he didn't get invited to the place where he gets to preach. Then they beg him to come tell the truth. He comes, tells the truth, gets smacked in the face at the revival in front of 400 other prophets. And he handled it wonderfully. You're going to have to run for your life after your king is dead because you prophesied a false message. And you're going to put this man's life in danger. And you're going to be in danger for it. That's what he was saying. Listen, let me go ahead and break it down there is a dangerous place. And it's called preaching and teaching the Word of God when you do it for the wrong reasons. Amen? If you're saying messages for you to get curry favor with anybody and get promoted and get people, hey, the king likes you, you can be in with that group of that 400 and you can do and run and do what you want to do. That ain't important. When it's all said and done, you're going to have to stand before God. Listen, I won't put this on anybody. One day I'm going to have to stand before God on every message I preached, every time I spoke for God, and every time I messed it up, I'll answer for that. I've had people come to me and they'll say stuff like this. I didn't understand it when I got called. I told my daddy, here's what I told him. I said, "Dad, I know God's calling me to preach." He said this, "I'll be praying for you, and I hope that's not the case." "Thanks, Dad. I thought you'd be excited." He goes, "I know how hard it is. If you can get out of it, get out of it. But if you can, I'll be praying for you. It's going to be difficult. Comes with a lot of work. Comes with a lot of heaviness. And you're going to be held accountable." And I totally understand that. I totally understand. There's been times, can I go a little bit deeper right here? There's been times, even here, at the end of the message, I can barely walk out of here because I can feel a soul hanging in the balance. And what I think every time is, I didn't do it right. I didn't deliver it right. My God, don't let somebody walk out of here, die lost, and it be on me. God, don't let somebody pay for my bad work. I've had a hard time walking out of here when I know, when I feel it. And there is you'll know it when you know it. There's a heaviness in the room. And it's like God's sitting there dealing with that person and drawing on that person. And you don't know how to quit. You don't know how to stop. You don't know how to leave. What happened at the end of the story is King Ahab came up with this awesome plan. He went to Jehoshaphat and said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to trick God. Let's change outfits. And I'll ride in your chariot. and you ride in mine. That's a dumb idea for Jehoshaphat. You ever had a dumb idea as a Christian and follow through with it? Jehoshaphat, this is a great. Now, Jehoshaphat just listened to the same message. So guess what he does? He goes into the battle dressed as King Ahab. Come on, guys. That ain't the smartest person. He's riding in King Ahab's chariot, looking like King Ahab, riding into battle. And all of a sudden, the enemy says, we're all going after King Ahab. Do you know who they're really going after? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's riding through the battle. The whole enemy's behind him. You know what he does? He does the smartest thing he could possibly do, Charlie. God help me! I'm an idiot! He cries out to the enemy, to God and everybody, it ain't what it looks like. I'm not him. You know what's so good? God was so good to him, so merciful and so graceful that he put it in the army's heart. He said, that ain't Ahab. And they turned away. And this one guy sees somebody and he goes, I don't know who that is. But I just feel like taking a shot at him. Ahab had disguised himself and thought he was going to get through with it. Rode all the way through the battle. This guy just takes out a hair and he goes, whew. And it goes in between the armor. And Ahab leans over his chariot, talks to his servant, says, turn around and get out of the battle. I've been hit and I'm wounded. And he rides right into town and dies. Just like the man of God said. Amen? Just like the man of God said. Micah came to town, wasn't invited, wouldn't ask, and just told the truth. A man died and lost his life, but he told the truth. Jehoshaphat hopefully learned a lesson, and we can learn a lesson. If Jehoshaphat never learned it, we can learn it. We don't have to join up with everybody. We don't have to get in. If God's given us peace and joy and happiness and we're doing great things, we don't have to join up with somebody who's doing it wrong and having to fight every battle in their life. We can say, hey, you can start doing right now and we can help you. But if you ain't going to change, I can't join. I can't be unequally yoked with anybody. Amen? Does that make sense? Let's all stand.